You may not have your Bibles with you. If you do, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles, and the chapter is chapter 20. And I want to talk a little bit about how we got the name Front Lines. Front Lines ministry actually comes straight from the Bible. It's out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat is being attacked by three nations, Moab, Ammon, and one called Mount Seir. Now, Moab and Ammon were from an ancestral relationship that Lot had with his two daughters. And now they're just destroying Israel. All three nations are coming against Israel. King Jehoshaphat doesn't know what to do, and so he prays. And he says this in verse 12. He said, "Oh God, will you not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." God, in essence, over the next few verses says, because your eyes are upon me, the battle is no longer yours. The battle will be the Lord's. But, he says, I want you to have a whole different approach to the battle. I want your front lines not to be the panzer tanks and bazookas. I don't want you to have all of the big equipment and artillery. He said, I want you to do it completely different. And so, the next day, verse 21 says this. So when he had consulted with the people, he did what God said. He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that had come against Judah, and they were destroyed or routed or struck down. How'd that happen? For the sons of Ammon and the sons of Moab arose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, the third one, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. Now, I want you to see this. God says, the way we're going to destroy the army is I'm going to set them in such confusion that they're going to destroy each other. But the way that we will set the enemy into confusion is I want my front lines to be made up of those who sing, who praise, who dance in holy attire. And so we call you our front lines. It is so critical to understand that because you are in a spiritual battle. And if we in any way slack on our responsibility, what if they didn't do what God told them to do? Do you think that would have affected the outcome of the battle? If they were to say, give thanks to the who? To the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. They were, through their dancing, through their singing, bringing focus to whom? To God. What if they just said, look at me, how nice I dance. Do you think that would have affected the outcome of the battle? What if they just started saying, ooh, am I good or what? Do you think God could have used that? No, it would have seriously affected the outcome of the battle. Do you know why we call you the front lines? Do you know why often you come before the message? Because I believe in spiritual principles. And God has asked you to go before what we're about to do on the weekend services or whenever we go out to bring the gospel, to set the enemy into confusion so that the army of God can come through and win the victory. You are more important than you'll ever realize. But not only is it a great privilege, it is a great responsibility. If you don't do what God's asking you to do and bring focus to him rather than self, then we will slack in the very thing God wants to take place in the enemy camp. And we will struggle and struggle and struggle. So it is a great responsibility. So with that in mind, let me share with you, first of all, a few things that the front lines is not. All right? I'm going to give you a few things and you can actually write them down. Let me give you these, three of them. Number one, the front lines, which includes cameras, lights, sound, redeeming of the arts in every form, dance, drama, halal, musicians, vocalists, singers, readers, all kinds of things. Number one, the Front Lines is not an entertainment agency. It's not an entertainment agency. Even though you dance, even though there's song and there's drama, although it may be at times entertaining, its purpose is not to entertain. The purpose is to bring focus, not to ourselves. It's to bring focus to whom? Because you're front lines. Give thanks to the Lord. What is it saying? We've got to bring focus to Christ. We've got to bring focus to God because it's a spiritual principle. If we don't do that, then it will seriously affect the outcome of what we're trying to do. So, number one, it's not an entertainment agency. Number two, it's not a theatrical production company. What we do is not a theatrical production company. A production that we do is not for entertainment. It's not to make money from tickets. It's not to take it on the road and get adrenaline rushes from people's applause. Uh-uh. It's a ministry that God has called us to. It's not a parachurch thing where we split from the church and sort of do our own thing over here. No, it's one and the same because it goes before what God is wanting to do. Do you understand that? So it has to be together. You don't take the front lines out and they just travel and say, watch us. Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness everlasting. Okay, let's go to the next town. Let's go to Jerusalem and do it. Let's go to Samaria and do it. No, it's together. It's one and the same. So it's not just a production company, or number three, it's not a talent agency. It's not a place where I go because I got talent and I want people to discover me. It's not a place to go because we have 8,000, 9,000 people watching and whoo, what a rush. It's not a talent agency. It's not a collection of cool people or a collection of people who think they're cool. Because when that happens, then you start to breed, like mosquitoes, ego, prima donnas, and pride, quarrels, possessiveness and territorialism. How come I'm not doing this? How come I'm not here? How come not? I'm not under the lights like so-and-so's under the lights. We start to lose morals in relationships because you do a lot of things together and dance and the body movements, and pretty soon our morals get loose and we think we can just get loose sexually. It destroys everything God wants to do. We start to compromise. We get defensive. We have personality conflicts. It's not a talent agency. So we've got to stay accountable. So then what is the front lines? Well, let me tell you now what it is. First of all, number one, the front lines of New Hope Christian Fellowship. And hear me, this is a very important point. The front lines of New Hope Christian Fellowship, as well as every other ministry in New Hope Christian Fellowship, whether it's the paddling, whether it's biking, whether it's surfing, here it is. The Front Lines ministry is a mentoring discipleship program. It is a mentoring program. It's not a talent show. It's not a place for artists to gather. It's a discipleship program for those that have a certain affinity. It's a mentoring program. Whether you're an apprentice in the things of the arts or a veteran, often people will come to the front lines with a little bit of talent and a whole lot of problems. There's immaturities, there's character flat points, but just because you can sing or just because you can play the guitar doesn't mean you ignore those character problems that are going to dog your life for the rest of your journey. So why does God put this Front Lines program together? Because you have an affinity called guitar playing or piano playing or vocalizing or drama. And you're drawn to this group where there are shepherds and shepherdesses. And you come and it becomes a discipleship program where you learn to release that gift by taking care of the character flaws. Because if you keep the character flaws in place but think I can ignore them because I can sing, then you'll be destroyed sooner or later. You're going to have relational problems. Your marriage will have problems. Doesn't matter if you're the best singer in the world. Doesn't matter if you're Whitney Houston. You're going to have major family problems, and you will not glorify Christ in the future. So God gives you a gift, gives us an affinity, and brings us together. Why? Because it gathers you to a congregation of like-hearted people that we get to disciple one another, that we get to help one another. It's a discipleship program. And then as you learn and as you grow, then God begins to release your gift. But can you see the new heart with which that gift is being released? Do you understand the unselfishness now? And do you understand how God can use it in glorious ways? Because your heart has been transformed. You're now under accountability. Your life is cleaning up. And God says, well done. It's a discipleship program for every single one of us. Now, one of the things God does is he brings you together with an affinity, say all these singers, and you love music. You see, if you came to a group of people with certain problems and you didn't like that affinity, let's say you just had to go to a counselor or a discipleship thing all the time or a class. Well, if something showed up in your character that wasn't the best, you drop out. If someone says, I don't want you to set the chairs up that way, or I don't want you to come late anymore, and you, well, fooey on you. It's easy for you to leave. But here's what God does. He puts you with other singers. You love singing. And when you're held accountable for a character flaw, you aren't so ready to leave because you love music. What God has done is he worked it in so that there's a sticky point. There is an adhesive kind of thing. So that you're not so ready to just bail out because you love drama or you love singing, you love playing the guitar, you love playing the drums, and it's just something of your passion. So when you're held accountable and your feet are held to the fire because your family's not doing well or a relationship problem emerges, you're not so ready to jump out because that's your affinity, that's your passion. God knew that long ago. And sometimes the only way God can get you to stay in one place is to put a little bit of adhesive through a gift, stick you in a group, and now you're not so ready to run. And it should be good because that's your family. That's where you're supposed to be. So when God starts doing surgery on an attitude, when God starts doing surgery on some reticence to submit to someone that God has placed an authority over you, when you're ready to bail out, you'll be a little bit slower to do so. Say, okay, well, what do you want me to do? That's good. Because in any other place, you would have been gone a long time ago. The Front Lines is primarily a discipleship program. That's why it's so important for each of us to not think that just because we sing, that's all we need to do. If you just want to sing, go to a talent agent. If you just want to play guitar, go out there and do something. But this is a discipleship program. Do you understand? What is the Front Lines? Basically, a what? Discipleship mentoring program. If you just want to play drums, then go to a talent agency. If you just want to be a prima donna, go to Hollywood. But this is a ministry. It's a spiritual thing that God calls you Front Lines for a reason. Secondly, it's a discipleship program. That's why we hit the drum all the time on doing your devotions. You, because you are pressed together as people very closely, you're singing together, practicing together, working together, emotions start to soar, you're doing things with song, you're involved, you're traveling together. If you're not being discipled by the Holy Spirit, your flesh is going to get loose and we're going to get sloppy around the edges. And when that happens, the devil wins. So that's why we keep hitting the drums about your devotions. Each of you is a part of your discipleship program. We expect you to be hearing from the Lord. I play guitar. And now let's say I was in a guitar class about this size, which I was in one of the colleges once. I was taking some jazz lessons. And the teacher would teach us some jazz, and we'd have to do it really slowly and then kind of break up into groups. And it was okay. I learned a little bit. But it was tough because the whole class has to match the rate of the slowest learner in the class. But let's just say, in one of the classes, one of the greatest jazz guitar players, a man named Joe Pass, Let's say Joe Pass picked me out and he said, hey, Wayne, I would like to give you private lessons every day. Private lessons. Now, people pay just for him to show up is $25,000, just for him to do one gig. So to see this world-class, legendary jazz guitar player ask me if he could give me private guitar lessons, why, within a year, I would be playing like Joe Pass, and people will look at me and say, you were taught by the master, weren't you? Because we have all of this class here, and we play Joe Pass's stuff, but you were taught by the master. I can tell in your playing. The same is true with you. It would be foolish, by the way, for me to say no to him. We get together at times like this and we learn together. But I tell you, one of the best, most important mentoring is when the Holy Spirit says, I'll take you, sister, I'll take you, brother, and I'll mentor you personally, one-on-one, every day. I will speak to you through the Word of God. And if you will take notes, we call it journaling, if you'll take notes on what I'm saying and write down what I tell you, and if you'll follow it, within a year, people will look at you and say, you've been taught by the master. I can tell. For us to say, no, thank you, would be absolutely nuts. I wish someone would have helped me sooner on that. So I want to encourage you and keep beating the drum on that. Sometimes people will come to you and say, can we meet together for devotions? Oh, I would encourage you sometime, just meet with one of the brothers, brothers with brothers and sisters with sisters. Go meet with each other and have devotions together in the morning. That would be one of the best things you can do. It's a part of the discipleship and mentoring programs of the front lines. Because remember, this is not just an entertainment agency. This is not just a little bit of vamping before the message. This is a spiritual warfare that you have great responsibility in. So number one, the front lines and every ministry is indeed a mentoring program. It'll include a lot of stuff. That's why God puts people who are elders around you. God will put people who are overseers of ministries around you. And if you're an overseer in a ministry, you're not there just to garner the talent. You are there to shepherd those whom God has placed under your care. The second thing that the front lines ministry is, number two, it's a serving ministry. It's a serving ministry. It's a servant ministry. It requires the heart of a servant. Because you're investing your gifts, whether it's sound or lights, vocals, drama, a musician, camera, producer, front row, whatever it might be, you are there to serve the purposes of the gospel. The gospel. You want to serve the purposes of that. You're going before that into that warfare. The scripture says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This last Sunday, nearly 200 people raised their hands for salvation. The week before, 125. The week before, 148. I mean, we could almost start a church every week. The harvest is ripe. It is wonderful. But what was it that brought them to the gospel? It was the Word of God being preached. It's very important. Well, what would the front lines do? First of all, we are there to set up that sort of front lines that puts the enemy into confusion so people's hearts can be released. You have a very important role to play. But what is it that we're doing frontline work for? So the gospel can come through and change lives. Take the gospel away, what happens? You have zero. It's a nice Christian entertainment thing. But no, they're together. They go together. They're not separate. They're together. Now, one of the things, the reason it's so important for us to remember that we keep hearts of servants is this. Remember that it is a privilege for you to be a part of what God has called us to do. It's a privilege. And I know this is going to come as a shock, but listen very carefully. God doesn't need you. I know it's a shocker. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. God can do without Ben Vegas. God can do without Stacy. God can do without the tie. God can do without Martin. God can do without you. God can do without me. If one of you didn't dance, sing, or play drums, the ministry would still go on. The church will not die. It can go on without you. It's okay. So if you're a part of this, it's because it is a great privilege to be a part of what God is doing. Not me. God is doing. Not you. God is doing. Because God doesn't need any of us. But if he says, would you follow me? It is a privilege. Wow. When God said, follow me and be a part of this ministry. It is a privilege. So therefore, everything we do must be done with a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness. Whenever I think, hey, if you don't give me this or that, I'm going to take my ball and bat and go home. We've lost the heart of a servant. It is an honor to be a part of this ministry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't ever miss that. Because God can do without us. So if he includes us, it's because he's privileged us to serve in his calling. So keep the heart of a servant. And whatever you do, do with a heart of gratefulness as unto the Lord. The third thing that the front lines is that it gives us opportunities to celebrate our story through the arts. Gives us opportunities to celebrate our story through the arts. Every single one of you has a story of what Jesus Christ has done. And when you dance, when you sing, when you do drama, when you're a part of the choir, when whatever you're doing, you are saying, I want to tell my story of what God has done through my life. And I'm going to choreograph it in this dance. I'm going to sing it in this song. I'm going to speak about it in this reading. I'm going to put it into this drama. Whatever it might be, I'm going to put it into this guitar. I'm going to put it into the drums that I play. But it's my story of celebration of what God has done in my life. And I want to share it with gladness. Now, it's not an art form that you're doing. It's not this, taking an art and giving it to the people. Taking an art and giving it to the people. Watch closely. This is what it is. It's taking an art form, running it through you, and then giving it away as a gift. You see the difference? It's not just taking an art form and then rehashing it in a nice way to the people. Singing a song. No. It has to come through you. And then it comes out of your heart. Then God can use it to touch a heart. A mind will touch a mind, but only a heart will touch a heart. And that's what God is trying to do. Reach people's hearts. Now, God can only use genuine hearts. How does God tell? How do people tell whether or not you're genuine in what you're giving? What you're giving is something pure, not just a regurgitated art form, a restyled, a rearranged art form. How do they know if it's genuine? How can God use it unless it's genuine? Well, how do we know it's genuine? I'll tell you how. Is it how you perform under the camera? Mm-mm. How you look on the screen? Mm-mm. How you shine in the lights? Mm-mm. How much applause you get from the people? Mm-mm. How do they tell whether you're genuine? I'll tell you how. The way people know whether you're really genuine on the stage is your lifestyle off stage. That's the way. Because you know as well as I, and I've taken a lot of theater, we can fool them all on the stage. But it's your lifestyle off stage that will definitely determine whether there is a sense of genuineness on the stage. Every single one of us will be tested in that way. And we'll need to be able to come through with a genuine lifestyle. They see you in the marketplace. They see you in the hallway. They see you when you don't think anyone's watching. Let me read you this letter. On Saturday, December 29th, I was victim of a road rage. As I was driving east, I honked at a car that nearly broadsided me while he was changing lanes. Sounding my horn alerted the driver. He stopped within inches of my car and then pulled back. We were so close that my driver's horn was right next to the driver's window, and it startled him. But thank goodness, because it stopped an accident. We were both at a stop sign when I noticed my car being bumped from the rear. As I looked in the mirror, I saw the same man I honked at. Now he's yelling obscenities at me and flipping me off and opening his car door, intending to get out of his car and assault me. So I kept my door locked, my window up, and my hand on my cell phone ready to call 911. But when the light turned green, I proceeded to take off. This man got into his car, sped up, got alongside of me. Then from the side of my eye, I saw him continuing to yell obscenities at me and giving me the finger while we were traveling at 40 miles an hour. He wasn't even looking at where he was driving. I kept looking straight ahead, just pretending not to see him. And then he sped off, crossing over 3 lanes of traffic at over 80 miles an hour. Pretty weird, huh? That's road rage. Now let me tell you the kicker of it all. The reason I'm writing this letter is that I noticed as he sped off that his license plates said New Hope. Please talk to your congregation about road rage. Now, does that make you want to vomit or what? Don't take off your New Hope plates. Just drive sanely is what we're saying. Some of you are like, I could read your mind. I'm taking that thing off. Now, that might be me. It just makes you sick. Oh, no, no, no. But as bad as that sounds, the same is true with you. To come up on stage and have a nice bumper sticker and then go off stage and live a completely different lifestyle. The people are just as confused. So we are no different, because God's called us to be a people who are genuine so that he can use what we give to him. The next is this, number 4. The front lines is a ministry, a ministry. You touch people's lives. You will be used by the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives. Often I have seen, by the time I get up there to speak, people are wiping tears. And I know that their hearts are ready for the implanting of the gospel seeds. And as I speak something to them out of the Word of God, their hearts are fertile soil, because the front lines is a ministry. You've just devastated the enemy. You have cleared the way as a front line should, as we found in 2 Chronicles 20. And now God's gospel is able to come through and change lives. You're a ministry. You're a part of this ministry. So it holds great importance and great value. Now, you're going to be used by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to turn to Galatians 5 with me, and we're going to take a look at this. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. But before that, let's go a little further up, and it says this. But I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are in opposition to one another. So, where the flesh is, the Spirit will what? Agree with or oppose? Oppose. If the flesh is there, is the flesh going to agree with the Spirit of God or oppose it? Oppose it. So there's an opposition. Now, if our lives are filled with flesh, or we've got wrong motives, or we're living a lifestyle that we think we can fool God with, then the flesh is going to be opposed by the Spirit. It's still flesh. It doesn't matter if I'm singing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord Almighty. It doesn't matter if I'm singing Amazing Grace. God looks at the heart and the lifestyle and the genuineness of the material that he has to work with. Now, if we are a people with genuine hearts, the Holy Spirit can use what you just sang to touch lives. If, however, it comes out of a life that's filled with duplicity, a life that's filled with shucking and jiving and thinking, well, nobody else knows, so I'll just come up and sort of do this because I like to sing or I like to dance or I like to do whatever. You know what's going to happen? If it's coming from the flesh, do you think the Holy Spirit can use it? I'll tell you what happens. The shelf life of what you just did ends as soon as the last applause claps. And that's as far as it goes. Because the Holy Spirit says, I can't use it. It's not genuine material. You see, God needs to, if he's going to use anything to change a church, to change a nation, we've got to give him pure material, pure stuff, not filled with dross, not filled with poisons, not filled with flesh, because if it's of the flesh, God can't use it. So what happens is you're going to practice hours and hours and hours, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm sorry, I can't use it. So someone else is going to be running cameras. Someone else will be running lights. Someone else will be doing tons of stuff. Do you understand how many people are there supporting you in a dance or a song? But if my lifestyle is disingenuous, off stage, I will sing a nice song and the Holy Ghost says, I'm sorry, I can't use it today. Nah, can't use it. So everybody, what they just did is useless because he can't use it. Now just think of all of the hours of practice that have gone to waste. Why? Because this is a spiritual thing, people. This is not a talent agency. This is not a recital. This is a ministry. So you work under spiritual principles. And if I am singing in the flesh, if I have wrong motives, if I am sexually impure off stage and I come on like I'm this real nice, amazing grace person, God says, I'm sorry, I can't use it. And the shelf life stops. That's a lot of practice and a lot of hours and a lot of people playing piano or this or that that God says, I'm sorry, I can't use it. So it's so important for us to give God pure material. Now, on the other hand, you can have something really super simple, and a little girl comes up and says, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But if she's pure, the Holy Spirit takes that and touches hundreds and thousands of lives, and there won't be a dry eye in the house. Isn't that right? Because God doesn't necessarily look for talent. He looks for pure hearts. Because that's the kind of material he can use. You're in a ministry. This is not a talent agency. You're in a ministry and we work by spiritual principles. You're called front lines for a reason. So that's why if we have to, and if lives aren't matching up to be pleasing to the Lord, I'd rather pause everything and go back to simplicity. I don't need super good singers, neither does God. Remember, he doesn't need us. He just needs pure material. Just give him pure material. That's all. And if we can have pure material, and even if they're flat or sharp, do you understand we can change nations? Because it's not us anyway. It's the Holy Spirit using what we give him. Got to catch that. That is extremely important. Now, it's sure a lot nicer when you have talent and the Holy Ghost can use it too, you know. But do you understand the bottom line? That's the principle I need you to catch. Well, what does the Lord say that would mess up the things that would cause the Holy Spirit not to be able to use what we do in the front lines? What are some of the things? Well, Galatians 5:19 gives a very simple and concise list of how the flesh shows itself. And let me read it to you. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now here are the deeds of the flesh. They are evident, which means they will come out. All right, what are they? Impurity, or rather immorality, impurity, sensuality. Did you know the very first three things is all about our sexual purity? Immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those are three things that are going to be very important for us to understand here in front lines. It's almost as if the Lord put the three things that are going to be really important right up front that you're going to get attacked by and you're going to get sloppy around the edges. So easy to get a little sensual. It's easy in dance to get sensual, to look at me. It's easy to have immorality because you're pushed together. And there's a lot of emotions in front lines. People speak or sing with emotion. They act with emotions. They dance with emotions. But then you get emotions out of order and it gets really kinky really fast. That's why every single one of us must be being mentored by the Holy Spirit so that there's a depth about us. That we can be gatekeepers. When we see something going a little out of whack, we say, hey, sister, you got to watch. Let me steer you back so that your affections are placed where they need to be. We need to help one another. Otherwise, those first three things, immorality, which is just sleeping together, having intercourse with one another. Impurity, thoughts, wrong thoughts, having incorrect, unbiblical thoughts for one another. Sensuality is starting to have that kind of nuance, that atmosphere that says, look at me. And we start to be noticed by the way we dress, and we like the attention that it gives us. That's why it's so important for you, even in your dress in the front lines, to be very, very careful. Because you're moving with body, especially dancers. And we don't want to in any way incite wrong thoughts from the people, because we're not drawing attention to my belly button. We're not drawing attention to my pierced whatever. We're drawing attention to whom? It's a ministry. You are called front lines. Give thanks to the whom? Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Your goal, my goal, is to draw attention to whom? Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to defeat the enemy. That's why we're doing this. It's not a talent agency. So we must be willing to be modest in our dress. Why? Because we're prude? No. Because I love Jesus and I know the purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it'll behoove us to make sure that we're dressing well. Help one another on that. Because we all can get a little sloppy on the edges on that. Let's make sure that there's no impurity or sensuality. Then it continues. Idolatry. Idolatry simply is worshiping anything else or anyone else other than God. Oftentimes people will have a tendency, especially in the arts, to worship themselves. They worship the one in the mirror. Be very careful of that. Make sure that you use everything you have, your voice, your talent, your looks, your dress, everything, to draw attention to Jesus Christ, because we're here to make nobody famous but one person, and His name is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's a spiritual principle. It's a ministry. We're here for a certain reason, and it's very eternal. We must keep that in mind. Not only idolatry, the next one is sorcery. You say, sorcery? What's sorcery? Sorcery is calling on other spirits. Well, what's that doing in here? We wouldn't do that. No, we won't. But you know what? The word comes from sorcery. It's actually witchcraft. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's the word pharmakia. Does that sound like any word that we use today? Pharmacy. Let me tell you how sorcery started. It was that when the old times, they would actually take drugs to incite their awareness to the spirits. Like the Indians would smoke peyote. Others would take all kinds of drugs and they'd go into this trance and they would call upon spirits and have sorcery or seances while under this drug-induced state. So it's actually put right here. And what it's saying is pharmakia or sorcery. Well, we don't know, but we can be involved with drugs. You see, what happens when you're on drugs, it alters the state of your mind and opens your mind up. To whom? To anything. And it makes you very vulnerable to the enemy. It is one of the most dangerous things that the devil would love to hide from you. You think you just get a high. No, you get very vulnerable to the devil. And he starts slotting things into your mind and the way you think and into your value system that later on you just can't get those pictures out of your mind, or you can't stop thinking about so-and-so. It's so hard. You're so weak in this area. You're so weak in that area. It's all because sometimes when we do drugs, the devil just is able to slip stuff into you and you can't just take them out that easily because they've got barbs onto it. That's what they used to do, get high and induce spirits. Still happens today. So that thing of witchcraft is drugs. You don't want to be involved in that stuff for the sake of the kingdom of God. If God's called you to this ministry, you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be doing that because I'm going to steward this call. What a privilege it is. So therefore, I don't get to do that. And I don't get, not that I don't, I can't, sure I can, it's my choice, but I don't get to because I don't want to, because I prize the privilege of what God has called me to do. Can you say amen to that? Sorcery. And then the next one is enmities and strife, jealousy, outbursts of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions. You know what all that's about? People problems, relationships. You know what God is saying? If you're going to be a part of the front lines, and if you want God to use what we do in a long way so that our shelf life is good, we've got to make sure that our relationships stay good. That we don't have factions and disputes and dissensions, angry with one another, jealousy, outbursts of anger. What? You don't have this ready. What? I can't sit there. What? I'm not singing the solo? God is saying, if that stays lodged in your heart, even if you say, okay, go ahead, Dane, sing the solo, or Mike Bright, sing the solo. You always get solos, not me. Well, so Mike sings, or Dane sings, but you know what's lodged still in your heart? That outburst of anger is still there. Then whatever you do causes everything to erode because there's flesh embedded in that presentation. And the Holy Spirit's saying, ah, I'd like to use it, but I can't. I'm so sorry. Do you know how many hours of practice you just messed up? You're in a spiritual ministry. And we need to understand the character necessary to be a part of the front lines. It continues, and it says, envyings. Envying one another. There's going to be times someone is going to be placed before you. Don't envy that. It's okay. Because we're here to serve the purposes of the gospel. Keep the big picture. Don't just look for your stats. What about me? What about my name? Will people say that I was good? Or am I just a part of the wallpaper background? And everybody says, oh, but look at so-and-so. It's okay. Because you see, we've got to keep the big picture. And it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Can we put that into our hearts and say amen to that? Envyings. And he continues and he says, drunkenness and carousing. Those are two other things that God says, if you are a part of. And it's not just guidelines of New Hope. This is the Bible. And God is saying, if you're involved in these things, then you impede the shelf life of everybody's practice. What about drinking? Well, first of all, if you're not 21, you don't get to drink. Number two, the Bible doesn't say you cannot drink. It says don't get drunk. And if you can't drink without getting drunk, don't drink. Well, what else about that? It says this, if you cause another brother or sister to stumble by your drinking, then you get rid of that. Because people are more important than your palate for drinking. So you say, that's fine. I'm happy to put it down because your calling on my life is so much greater. The word carousing, what's that? What do you think carousing is? It's going around where the world is and acting like the world so that people think you're a part of the world. Partying, maybe even some clubbing. That's carousing. Because when you're there, people think you're in the world. So they're going to approach you like you're a world person. The Bible says be careful who you represent. You don't represent the world. You don't identify the world. You are not someone who are there to simply tell the people, this is like the world, look at me. No. You are to tell people, if you look at me, whom will you see? The heart of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can do that in a club or a bar, if you go in there, take a Bible with you, okay. But I bet for the most part, when you're in there and people pass by, they know, they think, they accept that you're part of the world. Then when they see you appear, they're not pleased, they're shocked. So be careful, because this is a privilege. If you say, well, that's it then, I'm going to go clubbing, it's like, kingdom of God or the world? Which one? Well, oh man, I don't know. Something is deeply wrong. Jesus says, follow me or follow the world? Man, I don't know, I don't know. Something's wrong. Then you're not ready for front lines. Go find someone to disciple you and have them work with you. Read the scriptures. See how great Jesus is, so that when he says, follow me, you can say, okay. Am I saying that we need to have this stoic lifestyle? No, 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 no. We have a great time. There's times I go to parties because I'm going to support someone or someone's there. It's a party of celebration of birthday or this or that. But if it's a kegger, if it's something just to do lines, or if it's just a drink, nah, I don't need to be there. Yeah, but my friends are there. I don't need to minister to them there. Once they're drunk, they ain't going to listen anyway. I'll wait for them to sober up. Because you see, my bottom line is I want to minister to them. I may be one with them in heart, but I won't be one of them in activity. They're still my friends. I'm one with them, but I'm not one of them. I'm going to be one of his disciples. So that's the privilege, that's the call that God extends to you. You need to be able to say, yeah, I will. See, the reason all of this is so important is because what you see here, we haven't even seen what God has in store yet. I so believe that God has a new level of wonderful ministry ahead of us. You have no idea what God has in store. I mean, it's almost as if God could open up the heavens and say, this is what I'm planning for New Hope, if you will be a part. I mean, it would make our eyeballs roll back like slot machines. It's going to be so phenomenal. But you know, if God rolled it out and you go, wow, it's almost like don't require much faith, because we just saw everything. But well, Lord, what if I don't see it? Thomas, he said, you believe because you saw. How blessed are those who have never seen yet still believe. That's where faith comes into play, because we walk by faith. And I want you to know that God has great things. He's already shown us glimpses of it in the amount of people coming to Christ. There is no church in the history of Hawaii that's like this one, that's been as long running as this, with as many salvations, that has planted as many churches. None. This is the first. You are part of history in the making. But you haven't even seen what's up ahead. The Lord is saying, I've just shown you what can happen. No other church, no other ministry. Now, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which I have planned for you. Now, just looking at the glimpse, you have no idea what I have for you up ahead. But I'm not going to pull back the screens. I want you to say, yes, I'll follow you. And with that kind of faith, watch what God's about to do. Build the character. Make it through the auditions. Say yes to being discipled, to be accountable, to be shepherded. And God will take that investment of your talent and multiply it 30, 60, 100-fold, not just to have a wonderful presentation, but you'll affect lives, you'll affect the state, you'll affect this nation, you will affect the world. He's already shown us we do. You haven't seen what he's got in store. Thank you for being a part of the front lines. Say yes to him. It'll be one of the most wonderful decisions you'll ever have made. Amen.